Okay?
Yeah.
19b. Good vach. Hamakawa lovely is chaver in a mocher lam haaretz. Now here we're talking about a chaver in the sense that he want. This is being, before we the previous mishnah was a person who what was the language used? Neman, right? So that was from Maestras. Here we're talking about a higher level tyra for tyrus. So that's the chaver, also called parish, I think, in other contexts.
Does this also include Truus and Maestras?
And it will be like by Kalvachomer, it will include Trumas and Maestras. All the Kabbalahs that we're about to mention in this Mishnah are in addition to the Kabbalahs that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah. So the answer to your question is absolutely.
I think in the Yekesha world, they have a title of
Chavar. Yeah, it has nothing to do with any of this. Hamakamal Avias Chavar, in a Merchala Amha Arts, Lach Vyaveh, she doesn't sell an Amha Arts, whether Lach, when it says Lach here, it means it was Mukshal Kabbal Toma. Whether it's a davar lach that it was mukshar, whether it was yavesh that was never mukshar, it doesn't matter. You don't sell to Am Haaretz. Why? Because the Am Haaretz ultimately will make it wet, and then it will be kal tumah, and you bring marba tumah, and on chulin Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to do that. And that's what it says. Also, ligram tumah luchulin shmei Eretz Yisrael in the marba folder. Okay, so you can't sell him. And the second thing is ein lokeach mimenu lach. You can't buy from the Am Haaretz something which has been mukshar kal tumah, but if he sells you Yavesh, he tells you that this Peiri has never had any contact with any, what do you call it, any other Sheva Mashkin. He is believed to say something has not become Hukshar. He's not believed to say something, excuse me, has not become Tomei. Next, Ve'inu Mas'arech Eitzel Am Haaretz. And he's not a guest by an Am Haaretz. Now, over here, you can obviously ask, as we just said, that this is an addition to the previous Mishnah, and the previous Mishnah already said you're not a guest by an Am Haaretz. So why is it saying it again over here? So there are multiple answers to this question. One of the answers is that before we were talking about being a guest in his house for food. Here, even if you're not eating there, even to walk into his house, you can't even walk into this house.
By association.
Yeah. Well, Toma by association, yeah. Lo ma'archa etz lo k'suso. And you can't host an Amaretz while he's wearing his clothing because we're afraid the Amaretz is clothing. His wife sat on it with Tomei Tomas Hesed from Zava, which is a Toma Chamura. Abhudo Aymar, aflo yigadol pein v'dakar. He's adding some more things. He, besides things which are Nagia, Tum, and Tara, he has other standards to be considered this chaver. He can't be growth, he can't raise a behemoth dach in Eretz Yisrael. Vilehe parts from Dharm Muschaik, he can't be overindulgent in the Dharm or in frivolous type talk.
Domestic animals mean like you have a dog or you
can't? No, it's animals that graze. Yeah. That graze, right?
The goats, they eat up the roots of the.
Yeah.
It's more
like
a cow, right?
It's a behemoth. Yeah. So, he can't be metamic to dead people. Meaning, unnecessarily. Obviously, if there's a Thomas mace, that's necessary. Obviously, you do that. But if he doesn't have to, he doesn't do it. Now, I forgot to mention one other thing. That this... The Mefarshim explained that these things take place over a test. There's a test period. You go in front of the three chaverim, and you makabel these things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and then they watch you. You're under observation. What's that called when you're first hired?
Probation.
Probation. You're on probation. And you have 30 days to perform. And once you get through the 30 days, then you are hereby entitled chaver. Okay?
It's clear that Chaver is a higher level.
It is clearly a high level, yeah. Vlom Shashay Samedrish, he also has to serve Torah scholars. Okay. Amulai, so the Chacham said to the Rabbi Yehuda, Lo boe l'chlal. These are not included. These are extraneous things. They're all very nice, but these are not included.
Well,
meaning Rabbi Yehuda's things that he added, right? The Schaik, the Kalas Reish, and the Nadarim, and Pamela Mason. What else did he say?
The Chachamim's list are primarily Tum and Tara.
Mehemad Daka. Yeah, those things are all extra. Yeah. It's a strange, it's a funny thing where Behuda is adding these specific
nowadays
ones.
You probably have TV.
Oh, I can think of a lot of things. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about it. I don't want to have bittul Torah here. So the Gemara says, you don't buy things that were once hokshel kavat toma, ha'yaveish mutter. But if it was something which was dry, it's mutter sha'ami ha'aretz and the manam alach sheiris. The amar aretz are believed to say whether something was hokshel kavat toma or not. The Tani Kain, the Brisa says also, Amarit is believed to say these pairs have not been hokshu al-kabotumma, but he's not believed to say that these have been hokshur, but they just weren't makabotumma. What's the difference? Because the inyonim of tumma and tara are extremely intricate, and what they say here is that an amarit who is not, or anybody who is not frequently involved in these types of halachas, there's no way he's going to know. He just doesn't have. You can't be kosher to be made on something if you don't understand. You don't know all the halachas and all the details. And since you're not involved in that because you're not aretz, so not believed to say it wasn't makabel tumah. But he is believed to say the simple thing, which is a yes no question, which is, did it get wet or did it not get wet? That's a simple yes no question. That he's believed. Okay? So Mele, you can buy Yavesh, because he's believed to say it never became wet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af. So he had other things. So since he says Af. What?
I have a whole extra line.
No, we can just first.
Hold on a second. Hamachal do. Yeah, that's what I'm up to. I haven't read it yet. I said the Yehuda Omer. I was reading the brackets. Yeah. Ha mechalal du mighty al kamaisa. So since Rabbi Yehuda says af, so you see he's adding to what was already said earlier. So you see he agrees with the previous kabbalas, which is pretty obvious, right? Not sure what exactly the Gemara has in mind. That's the chard of a pasha. They don't have to make a diuk like that. Obviously, chaveras is not. Not to be megadol paying madaka. I don't understand why they had to make a deal like this. Not sure. Last hadar pliga or adra biyina. Does this agreement to the Tanakama, doesn't this argue on Rabbi Yina? Now we're going back to Rabbi Yina in the previous machlekas we had earlier. Remember Rabbi Yina and Rabbi Yaisi had a machlekas within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember before we said it, what was it again? Rabbi Yehuda said what? That even a person who's hosted by an Am Haaretz remains trustworthy with regards to tithes. And the Gemara cited the Machlaikas that Chacham said, no, if he's Eino Neman Al Atzmai, how can he be Neman Al Acher? And the Gemara had a Machlaikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaisi. Rabbi Yehuda said that even when Rabbi Yehuda said that he went to other Am Haaretz to eat, but he himself obviously did not eat there, and he took off the maestras. If he did eat there, he made sure it was musukin. And therefore, and so there was totally no violation. Mashenkin Rabbi Yossi said no, that he actually would eat there stuff which was not fixed. Remember that, Machlaikas? Okay. So tomorrow, it's going back on that Rabbi Yoina. Doesn't this off indicate, not like Rabbi Yoina, because Rabbi Yoina says, Chaveira, Chaveirin, Eino Kashrim Lo Lachov Lo Lachil. That they're not kosher not to eat and not to give others to eat. So the same way, the Gemara is making a stretch here, that the same way, legabi achila, of something which is not mu'usar, that was included in that Mishnah. So let's just extend that shita, since it's Rabbi Huda, so let's extend that shita to our Mishnah, which is, has to do with what? With Taurus. In other words, just like Rabbi Yoina says that he's not going to be eating in Am Haaretz's house, Demai, and therefore he's trustworthy with regards to Maestras. So here, look at the English says, we should similarly presume that he does not eat Tomei food there either, and therefore remain trustworthy with regard to the Taurus. So then why does Rabbi Huda agree with the Tanakama, since he says Af, where the Tanakama says Enimus Arech Eitzalham Aretz Vloma Arche, that phrase right there, that he doesn't go Drama Aretz, Rabbi Huda's being masculine with the Tanakama because he says Af. So not only what you said, Tanakama, but also that these are other things I'm adding. He agrees to that din. Why is he agreeing to that din? That was exactly what he argued about the previous Mishnah. Why isn't he arguing on this Mishnah also? That's the question they're asking under Bioina. So the my answer is Shalayelach v'yitami gufo v'yovi v'yitami taharas. We're not worried about him eating something which is tamei. We're worried about something else entirely. We're worried about him becoming tamei by coming in contact with the begadim of the haaretz, which may have been sat on by his wife who's a nida, and that would be an avatoma, and it would be matamei an adam. That's what the problem is. I think so.
Meaning in the what Rabbi Yonah says.
Meaning the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is maskim in this case of taras, that he agrees that you can't go to Damaris's house, even though when it came to the Neman from Maestros, he said you could go to Damaris's house. And Rabbi Yonah said it was because he'd be makvid. So you could be makvid not to eat something, and you can be masakin it, but to be makvid not to become tummy is very difficult. If you're in his house, and he's got kalim, he's got tum all over the house, for you to be makvid, you'd have to literally, you know, float around in the air over there. So that's apparently, that's basically the Gemara's answer.
So practically, according to Yehuda, he would not be able to go to Amar's house.
At all,
even though it's not an eating issue.
Exactly. And before we walked in, we'd mentioned that all the Kabbalists in this Mishnah are in addition to the previous Mishnah. So why does it say again or repeat, Enimus Arach Eitzalam Arach, since that was already listed? The answer we said, and it's brought out here in this Gemara clearer, is because we're not talking about eating here. Here we're talking about even just walking into the house. That's according to, I think the Rash says that that's the Mahalach. Okay, that's the answer to that. Now we're going to go to Rabbi Yossi's Shita. V'afilu al Rabbi Yossi les hadof ligan. Even according to Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Yossi held that if you went into the house of Am Haaretz, the Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was as far as Nemonis was concerned, even if he ate there, it wouldn't shrach up his Nemonis. He would still continue to be a Nemon after he goes out of the Am Haaretz's house. So in this case, why is he maskim? That's the question. V'afilu Rabbi Yossi les hadof ligan. The Rabbi Yossi Amar, Haverim kashudim lo chal, v'ina kashudim lo ha'achil. That, what does it mean here? They're suspected of eating demai, but they're nevertheless suspected of feeding food that is not tied to others. Meaning that they would actually, he's just quoting his shita, meaning they'd actually eat over there at the other house. So there, Tamon, the Maestres, there he was talking about Maestres. And now we're on 20b. Tamon, the Maestres, Avohochol, the Taharas. Here we're not talking about Maestres, we're talking about Taharas. So when it comes to maestros, they're conscientious. We'll consider a person trustworthy even if he's eaten demai. Taras, they're less conscientious. So if you visit Amo Aretz and become tomei, you're not trustworthy. Okay. Now, nemenoha taras, nemenoha maestros. And the Brisa supports this idea because it says if someone is nemen on taras, so by definition, it's like a kavah chaimer, he's going to be nemen on maestros. Maestros are things which people are much more upkeyed on. So if you're nemen for the lesser thing, you're surely going to be Nemon on the more common thing. Tani, kol haba, anybody who comes to be accepted as a chaver with regard to taras, so tzorach l'kabal olav, he has to accept publicly these practices. Afilu chaver, even if he's someone who is known to already keep these laws, but you know he has a reputation, we've seen him do it, but he hasn't done the declaration, he has to be mekabel it. Afilu talmid chacham, even if he's talmid chacham. But if he's a Rosh Hashiva who darshans Barabim, he doesn't have to commit. Because probably he already committed when he became the Rosh Hashiva. And apparently that was, I don't know if it's inherent in the acceptance of the position or what exactly the difference is. I'm not 100% sure what the pshat is over here. Why is it Talmud Chacham who's Darish Riosha B'Yeshiva, why is that considered that he's committed to Taurus? I'm not sure.
Is it an elevated position?
Oh, yeah, I'm asking.
Yeshiva, you have to be a
Chaver. Where does it say anything about having to be? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure over here. On the bottom, it says over here that he brings over here that in, as far as Bavli and Yerushalmi is concerned, I think there's a Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi in this regard, the Gavi, a Torah scholar. he brings some bechiras. Daf lamedam abeis. It's a machlokas. Rav Shol says a talmud chacham is believed even without making a public commitment to taras. And Bavli adds that the Tanakama agrees with Rav Shol in principle. He's trusted without making a public commitment, but he only rules in practice. He needs to make the commitment because the Kohanim had this extra chumrah. But it's not a din me'ikar hadin. Now, the Chazanish says that based on the Gemara before, the Yerushalmi disagrees. The Gemara there teaches that Torah scholar is not trusted regarding Maisus without a formal commitment. Okay. Anyway, bottom line is here, the Bavli that doesn't agree with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi seems to hold that a Talmud Chacham is believed. I think he quotes a Rambam someplace later on also that says the same thing. That he doesn't, the Rambam is not machalik, whether he did a Kabbalah or not, he just says the Chacham Shesh Meshiva is Ne'aman. I'm not sure. Amr Ablas, or Ablas says, V'hu shekim olav mishar rishayna. That is to say, it has to be only if he committed to the Taurus practices initially. So I guess this was part of, right? He made a public commitment when he was appointed. I guess this is just something that they did as a matter of practice. So that's Reb Law. So remember that we're going to have a machlokes here. Reb Law said...
It's like a code of ethics.
Code, yeah. Maybe it's a minhag. I'm not 100% sure. So Reb Law said he was makabel, feirish. And Reb Yaisi Bai, he wanted to ask in Mishari Shaina if he accepted upon himself from the time he was appointed. So then Lomli Chaver, what do we care about whether he's the Talmud Chacham or not? It's Afil Amma Aretz. And Amma Aretz also says the same thing. Once the Amma Aretz is Makabel, he becomes these levels. So what are we specifying here? How is it different? So it says over here that in 13, second paragraph, he says like this. Reb Yaisi concludes, the Braisa must mean a scholar who sits in the yeshiva as deemed a chaver, even without making a formal commitment. That's going to be Reb Yaisi's shita, okay? Reb Law holds he has to make a public commitment. Reb Yaisi holds he does not have to make a public commitment.
Is it, Reb Law says it has to be a public commitment?
Yeah. He has to do the regular din. When I say public, I mean three. In front of three chaveir. Yeah, yeah.
Meaning the same as anyone else. Which is what prompts the Gemara's next question.
That's the question. What's the
name?
Exactly. And Reb Law, and he
have to be chaveirim. It's not a based din. It's sort of like the members of the society.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it has a tzura of a bezdin. Yeah, a Reb Law, he brings here how he would answer this. Reb Law would answer Reb Yaisi's question as follows: most people are only trusted if other chaverim verify that he kept the Torah's practices at home. The scholar who teaches Torah publicly is different. We trust him as soon as he makes the commitment. We don't require verification from other chaverim, I guess. So again, maybe he doesn't have to have the 30-day probationary period that other people do. Maybe that's the pshat. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, that would be the Reb Law's response, perhaps, to Reb Yaisi's question. But again, let's just get the shita straight. Reb Law holds a chaver that's Darish Riosh B'Shiva has to make the Kabbalah in public. Reb Yaisi holds no, he doesn't need it. So the Gemara says, Asher de Reb Law Kurib Shem Melakish. So Reb Law's opinion works out according to this, Maisa Shahaya with Rish Lakish. What happened? Reb Shem Melakish Habasol Kalagabi Elaine Dveir Bianai. He went to the house of Bianai. This was after apparently Bianai had died. And he wanted to go there to, you know, I guess to learn things that, you know, from the family and what his practices were. Fahava Nishaya Chazinle, the woman, when they saw Bianai coming, Orkin Min Kumoy, they fled from before him. They ran away from him. So it says over here in footnote 15 that they kept Torah's practices. They avoided touching the clothes of an Amma Aretz. Although Rish Lakish was a big Talmud Chacham who taught Torah publicly, they feared that he wasn't Makvid and Upkehid on Taurus. And since they were Makvid, so they ran away so they wouldn't get anywhere near him. Okay?
I think it was early in his rabbinic career. Maybe that's what you didn't put on a hat yet, maybe?
I don't know. It's a good question. Amalayin, so Rish Lakish said to them, Abba l'chayin b'vaisa. You had a very smart father, a scholarly father in your house, taught you correctly. Am ha'aretz, ani yetzal ha'ta'aretz. As far as Taurus is concerned, I have a halach like am ha'aretz. Rish Lakish talking about himself. And therefore, you did correctly. In other words, that's a riot to Rabbi Yossi's, right? I'm sorry, Rabbi Loz's view, who holds that as long as he hasn't publicly accepted, according to Rabbi Yossi, the ma'isa won't make sense, right? Because he's by definition a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to have a Kabbalah. So and he's Rish Lakish files with Darish of Yeshiva also. Okay, interesting story. Yeah. The ladies ran away from me as I walked in. It happens to me all the time. Tony, who nana b'chabura, says one who wishes to be accepted as chaver must proclaim his commitment to a group of three chaverim. Uvanu v'nei beisu nan in lo, but his children, they only have to make their commitment to their father. They don't have to make the commitment in front of the three chaverim. Another brisa. Is Tani, who one of them they non la chavura, that they all must proclaim to the chavura, and these don't argue. In other words, how come the first one you don't need the chavura for the children, the second brisa you do need the children to be in front of the chavura? It's not a machlokes. Kan b'tfulin la avihin. Here is when they're subservient to their father. For example, what's called subservient? Obviously, you know what subservient is. It's what? What?
I'm married.
No, it means that there's saimach al shochan aved for food and for paying. So a katan has saimach al shochan aved, even if he's a gadol, he has a lach like a katan, which we've discussed this at length, Shapsi. Yes. So therefore, over here, so when they are tofel to their father, regarding this, let's assume that's the pshat over here for now, so then as far as the Kabbalah is concerned, right? As far as the Kabbalah is concerned, then if they would just be Mekabala to their father, that would be enough. They wouldn't have to go in front of the Chaver. But if they're independent, Kan B'Sheinon Tfulin Lavihem, in the case where they have to make the commitment, where the second price, which says that the children, the rest of the household has to also make a commitment to the chaverim, that's where they are not subordinate, so therefore they require their own independent declaration. Okay?
The Mishnah just says Hamakabel on love. It doesn't give you a sense that he's being Machayev his whole Mishpacha to. It's hard to keep Tumah and Taira if your whole Mishpacha is not, so maybe it's implied, but. He's really taking a whole obligation.
Are you asking a question or making a statement?
It's an observation that
what do we think? This. Do we think that the Mishpacha has to be involved in the Kabbalah in order for this to work, even for the Chaver? In other words, if I go and I don't have my family's agreement, we say, oh, we're nothing doing. We're not accepting this Tara stuff. You want to be Machmen of Kol Yisrael, it's bad enough. But now you want to do Taras? No, I can't. Is that going to work? Is that what we're saying?
I want to make two comments. First, obviously, it's different than Chol Yisrael, because you could have, you know, a bottle in the house that says, and it's not.
Yeah.
In Tara, if you're like, once it touches, it's on the same surface. Like, it's a whole
different. It's impossible to.
And also, I imagine back then, talking about being subservient, like, the man was in charge. Like, if he said, right. This is what we're doing, everyone's doing it, and you don't like it, go somewhere else. It's different than today, where, like, I want to be.
You can't hear what he's saying.
I want to be Mount Neil, repeat it if you think it's good. I want to be Machmir Chol Yisrael, and my wife says no. It's like, all right, then I'm doing it, and you're not, and that's it. You know, it's not like everyone's just going to do the man of the house does. Back then, it was like that.
Kind of like what the Pacman said today this afternoon.
First of all, I'm running out of. I just have to plug this into the wall. Just one second, please. Hold on a second. Let me just put this on pause.
Yeah.
So the question is, we're really grappling with this. In other words. Does the people in the house need to be involved or not be involved? And in those days, people were much more, you know, and when I say goes, and he had more of a day in what goes on in the house. Okay, I'm not 100% sure. My gut tells me that it sounds like
it's my focus.
it's a machlokas whether they have to be in front of three chaverim. What we're asking is, do the members of the household have to be involved? Can I be a chaver without my family? That's the basic question. Yes or no?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, the other way around, I would say no.
Uh-huh.
I'm just happened to the video?
Just one?
Okay.
I'm just looking at Rosh Cirillo. Let's just look over here for a second. The way he says it, okay, let's look at the bottom line in Rosh Cirillo, the bottom line on the right side. Let's just read through it real quick. Hunan alechavura koimer. Hu tzarech lekabel v'yehi nichna l'shloshas hachaverim habod kimoso ve'ein bonov v'nei boso tzrichim lekabel dinan in lo v'shomid l'dvar v'u mistama mukzokim. We don't need to have a fairish thing. We just assume that they are part of his Kabbalah. That's the first shita. So by definition, the whole question becomes a moot question because if I'm a kabbal, then it automatically includes my family. Second brisa is who one of them based in Nam Lachabura. Davka tarshi kabbal of Nehabarim, lo mahani cheskas avihin. De Elohim el asrach ba'almo, the ankle custom kazoka. Yeah. So their kazoka is not a kazoka. So it doesn't sound like there's a machlokas here whether they have to or not. It's a question of whether they are included or not. Okay.
When it says Bond of B'nai Beis, so are you talking about Katanim? I think so.
I don't know. I guess so. Yeah. Okay. Let's go weiter. Tani Rav Chavlafta ben Shaul, Gedolim Nanim Lechabura, children of a Chaver who are adults, have to say their commitment to three Chaverim. Ketanim Nanim Lo, but in minor children, right, they need to proclaim their commitment only to him. So again, it says in the bottom 22 that adult children are generally, notice generally in brackets, not subordinate to their father and do not necessarily accept his chastisement. They therefore must proclaim their commitment to three chaverim.
These are adult post bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go weiter. Tani says in the Brisa, Makrim lechnafayim. If somebody wants to become a chaver, he has to befriend him for wings. Lechnafayim, wings, is just a way of referring to netilas yadayim. This basically is telling me that what we're going to say now is we're going to say that when you become Makvid on Taurus, it's a gradual, you don't just jump into the whole thing. You start gradually. First you start, let's start with the Netilas Yadayim. We'll see how you do with that. And then if you do Netilas Yadayim well, we'll go to the next level. That's basically what I was going to say over here. So we start off with Netilas Yadayim.
Is there a reason?
Lamdim Lataurus. Afterwards you start Taurus. What? The Gemara picked Yadayim. Let's see what it says over here. He commits to only the laws until Yadayim, which entail washing hands before eating, even Chulin, because Tam Yadayim Ashniyas, right? It says only over here. After he's made this initial commitment, do we teach him the other more complex laws of Taurus and allow him to commit to those as well. In other words, Yadayim is considered a simple area of commitment, and Taurus is more complex. It's unclear, he says over here, why Netilas Yadayim before eating Chulin require a special commitment. All Yidden are obligated to wash before eating bread. So, the everyone has to do it, so why was this picked out? So, let's see over here.
Is that for bread?
Promotion.
Ramesha suggests that's referring to Dabar Shati Bula B'mashka, which is a different kind of a halacha. But there are other Rishonim disagree with Taisvis. They say all Jews are obligated in Dabar Shati Bula B'mashka. Whatever. It's not clear exactly what this is referring to. And why does it call and tell us your time? Wings, he says, because people, after they wash their hands, they lift their hands up, and it looks like you have wings. That's totally not our practice. We don't lift up our hands like that. Okay. Nobody does that.
I do that.
You do that, but most people.
Yeah.
Most people are not like you. On shoulder.
Thank you.
I mean, you do this every time you wash your tilsa dime?
You don't go like this?
Who does that? Nobody does that. I'm asking in the poll in this room. I've got 50 people here in the room. Let me see. Let's take a roll call. Who lifts up their hands? I got 49 people here saying that they don't.
In halacha, it says you're supposed to.
Exactly.
I want to just explain something.
Ramosha says not to.
The din halacha that you're referring to, Rabbi, is only necessary if you didn't wash your hands with a full revius. If you use a full revius on each hand, then there's no problem of water becoming tome or that sort of thing. You don't have to worry about it.
My father also said it.
All right. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Elazar, knafayim, madafos, and then you do not madafos, which he says. These are items that have a light degree of tumah. So they're not an ava tumah. And also things that are tumah only Rabbi Rabbanon, he says over here. He says this is a lashon of by nidof over there, by when your enemies are chasing you, and even a little rustling will cause them to run away. It's something which is light. Madafim is light tumah, okay? Now we're going. It's what?
It's in the
Tochacha. Asotas, now we're on Chaf Aleph and Aleph. Let me just end this recording so I have it separate.